Welcome to the Valley Brook Community Church podcast, and thank you for joining us online today. You're about to hear a message from our current series, the Holy Spirit series. In this series, we'll explore the person and the role of the Holy Spirit and how the Spirit works in the world, in the church, and in the lives of Christians. To watch any of our previous messages or find all listening platforms, we encourage you to visit www.valleybrook.cc/on-demand. Enjoy.
Well, good morning, Valley Brook. Morning. Happy Sunday. If you would stand with me for a moment, we're going to read some scripture before we begin together. This comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 3. It says, "Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs that you were doing if God were not with him.' Jesus replied, 'Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again.' 'How can someone be born again when they're old?' Nicodemus asked. 'Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born.' And Jesus answered, 'Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. For flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. For the wind blows wherever it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit.' 'How can this be?' Nicodemus asked. 'You are Israel's teacher,' Jesus says, 'and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things?'" This is the word of the Lord. You can be seated, however people say that. So caught myself there a little bit, but good morning again. It is an honor to be here and to speak with you all this morning. If you don't know me, my name is Brian Rooney. I'm on staff here, and I just love being able to speak with everybody. It's a wonderful blessing, and I just thank you for the honor. So for over the past few weeks, we have been focusing our attention on God's desire to restore the world as the human heart had gone rogue and strayed from him. Through the sending of Jesus and through the empowerment of his Holy Spirit, God has begun his rescue mission for the world and for each and every human being that will live on it. And now that the world can grow to become what God wanted it to be. And so now we've seen God's mission for the world over the past weeks. We've been talking about how Jesus has been doing his ministry and what the Spirit has been doing and what it does in us. And we've read about all these things. And now we know that the Spirit of God, the empowering Spirit that allows people to do amazing things and allows the world to come back into what God wants, no longer rests on a mountain or in a temple for only the very, very religious people, but in the hearts of every single person that believes in his name and is committed to his mission. Did you know that throughout the scripture, God talks about his desire to save everybody by using this language, and he says, "I want to give you a new heart. I will give you a new heart. You had a heart of stone, and I will give you a new one." This is something you'll see all throughout the Old Testament, that God talks about giving a new heart, because the heart in us, that is where the problem really began, is in the human heart. To the biblical writers, their understanding is that the human heart, at its core, the diagnosis of the human condition, is that at the very pit of it, we will always choose what is right in our own eyes, and we will do what is right in our own eyes as we see fit. Now, yes, you can do good things and you can help other people, but we choose it because we believe that it's right. And history shows us the eventual disaster that that ends up leading when all humans choose for themselves what they believe to be right. But God desired for us to learn from him, to take from him the answer of what is right and what is wrong, because he is wise, he is kind and understanding, and he knows what's best for us. And so the human heart was the core, was the center of all of the chaos that came into God's beautiful world. And so it's only natural that for God to desire the renewal of this world and the healing of this world to start at the heart. So he desires to give us a new heart. Jesus calls this process of receiving a new heart being born again. Having a heart that is born not of flesh, but of the Spirit. He talks about this when he speaks to Nicodemus, which we just read about. Nicodemus was a teacher of the Old Testament and what they had, you know, they called the Hebrew Bible, because for them, the Hebrews at that time, they didn't have the New Testament. So their whole Bible was the Old Testament. And so this is what he says to him. We read a little bit of it. We said, Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." When you are born again, you receive this new heart that God speaks about so frequently. And very much like how when we're born and we are given gifts and inclinations and traits like our family members, when we are given this new heart, we are given gifts and traits and inclinations like our Father in heaven. Pastor Clark has been speaking about this for the last few weeks. He called them the fruits of the Spirit. And so we're going to put them up here. We're going to put this verse up. This is what the Apostle Paul teaches to one of the churches. He's talking to them about this old heart and this new one. He says, the old heart has all of these things that it does. And then it says here, it says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love and joy, peace and patience, kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. It's a beautiful picture of the world God desires, where this is where the human heart turns to. Not choosing for itself, but choosing gentleness and peace, patience, kindness and goodness and self-control. Could you imagine a world where that's what came out of us every single day? We weren't, you know, waiting for our morning coffee or waiting for our, you know, like food in order to feel good. We can just wake up and just be gentle. Wake up and, oh, we'd still have coffee. Come on, what am I talking about? I'm like, whatever God's world is that he wanted, coffee is definitely a part of it. You know what I mean? Or at least in my depiction of it. See, you're right. There you go. There you go. See, these are fruits, and these are examples of the hereditary traits that we get from Jesus, because this is what Jesus is like. You read all throughout the scriptures. These are the traits of God. He is kind and gentle and self-controlled. If you don't see these in the scriptures, look for them. They're there. When you see them, you see the heart of God. It's amazing when you see these things. Sometimes people focus too much on the parts where he gets angry, but it's like, bro, wait and watch how self-controlled God is over the course of the Old Testament. Boy, oh boy, what I have just like started over right from the beginning. But he has a lot of self-control and love and gentleness and faithfulness to his people. So in addition to these traits, we're also given gifts. Similarly, how we have gifts sometimes that are like our family members. So like, for example, if you can sing, you might come from a family who might be able to sing. Or if you might have an inclination or gifting towards being good with numbers or being really good at art or sports. And so similarly, we have gifts similar to our Heavenly Father and similar to Jesus. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what these gifts are. And to do that, I'm going to have to pull my chair up. All right, so we're gonna do some real talk here, because this is important. If you're online, zoom in, and if you're on the podcast, just know I'm sitting. So it just got real, all right? Look, so the reason I'm sitting and doing this is all for a visual effect of going, please hone in with me here for a moment. Because in order to understand this, we really need to be careful of which lens we bring into this. And we really need to make sure we do not miss something very important that we've missed for so many years. For there are many gifts of the Spirit, and the Spirit empowers us in many, many ways. But I want you to understand this thing before we go forward. The point of why the Spirit comes and why he gives us gifts in the first place. Born-again people, people with the Spirit of God in their hearts, people who have made a declaration of being with him and a part of his mission, are God's empowered partners in the world. Don't miss this. Come right back to this again. Again, born-again people. People with the Spirit of God in them who have committed to him and who believe in his name are God's empowered partners in the ministry and in the world. You know, before, you know, please don't forget this, because before we get into what the gifts are, we need to understand why they had to come in the first place and what they're for. And so our lens that we take in understanding these gifts can be very important, because if we have the wrong lens and we have the wrong mission, we're not going to use them correctly, or sometimes we may not even see them at all because we're not where they need to be used. So be careful of what lens we bring in to Scripture, because it can change the way we view these things. I'll give you a couple examples of what I mean by changing the lens and what you see. Here's some Scripture verses I've read before that I've seen through a different lens that I want you guys to see a lens in. So here's one. This is from the brother of Jesus, from James. It says, "Therefore, submit to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you." I've heard this verse taught, and usually it's just, you know, just resist him, hold him back, and then eventually he'll leave you alone. Right? Just resist really, really, you know, really well. Don't sin. Just try to push him out and, you know, keep him away. But it says he will flee from you. This means that if you are opposing and resisting the enemy of God, they will run from you for their lives. They will flee from you because you are dangerous to them. Not defensive mindset, but an offensive mindset is helpful in understanding that verse. Or here's another one. It says here, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and it says, "And also I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." The gates of Hades. The way that I've been taught this verse at times is I'll hear things very similar to that first one, where it's like, you know, just, you know, just try to keep the hell out and just try to, not really, but you know what I mean. It's like keep the hell away from the church, and if you just stay pretty good, hell will not be, you know, near you. You won't go in it and all that kind of stuff. You don't have to be afraid of it. But something I noticed is gates are not weapons. No one attacks you with a gate. Gates keep you out and keep people locked in. And so what he's saying is that my church will be so strong that hell's gates will not be able to stop you from plundering it, from getting in and stop and messing up what's going on inside. The gates of death will have no power over you. Again, not defensive, offensive mindset. And so you see how our lens oftentimes can change how we view the Scripture that we read. And it kind of it can sometimes diminish the power that the Scripture gives us. Upon even just saying this right now, I'm like, all right, let's go. Let's go kick some gates down. Let's start moving, right? I'm like, you start to get a little bit of that power. Something in the Spirit wants to get out there and go. So be careful of the lens. And so the reason that I want to say this before we even get into the conversation about what the gifts are is make sure you know what they're used for. And make sure you have the right lens in using them. All right, I can move the chair now. We can go back to standing. With these lenses, when we take kind of an offensive look, we're called to go out as partners with God into the chaos of the world, to where the hearts of people have not been reformed. And what we're doing is we're going out into the world to share the light that God has given to us, to share that order and love and fruit and gifts with the rest of the world and talk about him everywhere so that they can come back to the way God desired for the world. You know, it's interesting. I was actually having a conversation with a friend of mine from the church here about this whole conversation about us being partners with God and taking the Spirit's power out into the world. And ever since Jesus came, it's the time when the whole world is going to start changing. And his question to me was, well, it's been about 2,000 years. Do you think it's working? Because it's pretty rough out there. And that's true. But it begs the question then, are we doing what we need to do as partners? Or do we feel like God's working alone? Or with people that are very defensive in their mindset only? Because you can't move all that fast when you're just defensive. It's a little, you know, sounds like the prophet Jonah, as he desired the destruction on the people he was going to rather than their salvation. Just something to think about. And this offensive that I'm talking about is not to conquer people with force or weapons or money or all of the things that our world likes to do when they think about conquering people. It's not that. It's coming with all the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. For those things will change a heart and bring people back to God. Not force, but about coming out with those gifts and the power of Jesus. I mean, look at Jesus. Look at his strategy. When he got the Spirit, he went out from town to town and village to village, healing people, speaking about what God was doing, saying the kingdom is now and it's coming and it's near you. And he was going out to where people were and he was allowing the Spirit to work through him in every place that he went. It's a very offensive mindset. He's not sitting, he's out, he's going, he's moving. And as he's doing this, his disciples start asking him questions about when they might be able to do this or how in the world he's able to do these amazing things, because they're like, this is crazy, no one else does this. And then he tells them that eventually they will do this too. He says this in the book of Acts, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth. It's a partnership. You're going to go and do this with me. Another time he says in the Gospel of John, he says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. And they will even do greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And so now we have the Spirit and can do the things that Jesus did. And we've learned that the Spirit gives many gifts, just like Jesus has many gifts. So what are these gifts? We'll get to the point. Let's get right to it. What are the gifts that the Spirit gives? We know the fruit. What does it give? And so the scriptures do not give a full list of these things, but you see them all over. There is a few times where they list off a few, but it's not all-encompassing because you start to figure out other ones as you continue to read and see and do the ministry. You start to notice more. And so the disciples give us this picture for the gifts of the Spirit, and they try to paint us this image of what it's like and what their purpose is by using Christ's body as the example. For as a body has many parts, but it is one body, so too are the gifts that we have in the church. So they depict his body of his hands, his fingers, his ears, his eyes, his feet, his leg, things like that. And they start to paint them all together that while the gifts are different, they are unified together in one body with Christ as the head guiding them all. And so that's our picture. It's a beautiful picture of many different gifts with people doing many different things all for the Spirit. The kingdom of God. So of these parts, there are a few that were mentioned. The scriptures point these out. So if you look up here, I've listed off a couple of them. So we have teaching and leadership, healing, generosity, serving, faith, evangelism, wisdom. We have the gift of tongues, which this means both speaking in tongues, but also the interpretation of that. Just so you understand what that is, speaking in tongues is praying to God in a language that only he understands. And then interpreting tongues is people with the gift of being able to understand what they are saying, but purely for the worship and prayer between you and God. Discernment, hospitality, and prophecy. And prophecy is another one of those confusing ones, because if you look up in Webster's dictionary what prophecy means, it's more like an oracle, but that's not what we're talking about here. In prophecy, it is speaking on behalf of God a word for the moment, in the moment, but also speaking on behalf of him in an understanding of what is coming based on what God has given them. So an understanding of what might be coming, but not limited only to that, but in the moment speaking the word of God for people to hear for the moment. It's a wonderful gift you see throughout all of the scriptures. Men and women prophesy, speaking the words of God. It is a beautiful gift to see and hear. I know there are multiple people in our congregation that have this gift. It is a wonderful thing to experience. Now, I want to address two different things here regarding all of these gifts. Number one, there is a type of thinking in the church wide that these gifts are no longer available to us, and that the ones that are more kind of natural sounding, like teaching or leading or hospitality, that they're not technically spiritual gifts, but they're just gifts that God has imbued in you as a normal person, and you can just use those for the ministry. Now, we believe that people have those gifts, but we don't subscribe to that kind of thinking here because we're connected, as we've learned last week during our Mission Sunday, to multiple other churches outside of the world. And so what we have to remember is that our church context is not the only church context, and that we're not the center of the church. And so while gifts here may be of a certain kind, it does not mean that those gifts are not being used, because we're talking with our partners in the ministry overseas and all over the world in different places, and these gifts are happening all of the time. And so we trust and know that that is happening. And so what we kind of understood in our understanding of where the gifts are is that God will empower you for the ministry when he feels that you need it as you are in the work. And as you are doing the ministry, that God will empower you in your gifts as he sees fit. And that the reason that we here in kind of our context, but mainly in America, I've noticed that in America, oftentimes people have this opinion that the gifts are no longer used and that they can't see them as often. I don't think the gifts are the problem. I like to call this, I think that people suffer from something called the Nicodemus syndrome. And so this is my own kind of wording for it and understanding. And so I think it's this syndrome that Nicodemus kind of portrayed here. And so this is something that I'm going to pull the chair up again because this is big. All right. So I love my stool. This is fun. So that religious teacher I spoke about in the beginning, that one that knew most of the scriptures and was a teacher of the law, just so you guys understand how much he knew at the time, the religious teachers at that time had the entire Hebrew Bible, the entire Old Testament memorized. I brought my Bible up for this only thing. Look at this. Okay. All of that memorized. They had it by heart. And you thought Lewis and I could quote things at a level that's ridiculous? Like, these guys could quote the entire Bible. They knew it. They knew every bit of it. And yet he missed the point, because there was a lens that he didn't understand. He had a different lens in reading it. So let's go back to that kind of time when he's speaking to Jesus, because he misses the point, even though he had it all memorized. So it says here in John, it says, "Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who is a member of the Jewish ruling council, and he came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who's come from God. No one could perform these signs that you are doing if God was not with him.'" In a sense, what he's saying is, I thought I was the most qualified person, but obviously not. You definitely are much more qualified than I am, and you must be at the qualification level to do these kinds of things, right? So God only works, I guess, through the superiorly qualified people. Even though we could memorize it all and have it all in our heads, there's a level of qualification that I had definitely not made it. That's the wrong lens. I think his lens was very much like, oh, that's for you guys. I can't do that kind of stuff. And so I'll stay with just the learning part and just stick with I'll learn it, apply a few things to my daily life. But I don't go out to where I need to do those things. And so Jesus replies, very truly I tell you, and this is so interesting. He says, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born again when they're old, he asks. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's wombs. He's so literal, which I love, though. It's funny, though, because that's what we would be if we heard this. You know, we can read this 2,000 years later and go, ha, he totally missed the point. Ah, funny. And you're like, in the moment, you'd be like, that's wild. But he's so focused on just the intellectual side of it, and we can fall into this trap too. I was there for many, many years of in this trap of I have to get all of it, 100% rational understanding in order to be able to do these things, and when I see people do them, they must be either super special and God loves them more than me, or I just don't understand it enough. But that's the wrong lens. That's the Nicodemus syndrome in me and on all of us when we're in that kind of mindset, that remember that Jesus was saying the kingdom is here, but that we wouldn't see it unless we were born again. Because the Spirit is within your midst. He says it's within your grasp to be in the Spirit, in the kingdom. It's not far away, it's here. And Jesus answers, he goes, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and of the Spirit. For flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. Again, he's trying to say it's not a physical thing. This is a spiritual thing. He's not dissecting you and giving you a heart transplant. He's saying your heart is made up of something that is not going to be helpful. The core is not helpful. But now it will be with the Spirit. You will seek me rather than choosing for yourself. It says, you should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. For someone that had it all memorized, he's heard about the new heart. He knows about it. He can quote it. And he missed it. He says, born of water, being baptized, and then by the Spirit, being given the Spirit to do great things. And that baptism is making that declaration that I'm with you. I'm on your side. I'm on your team. Those both together mean something. A declaration plus being given the Spirit and saved by God. Those two together, it's big. It's a heart change because that's what he desires from us. And then he's out doing the ministry, a part of God's mission. It's a part of that. He says, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. It sounds like that you don't see the kingdom unless you're born again. It's just wind blowing through. I don't understand it. I don't see what's going on. And he's saying when you have the Spirit, you do see it. It makes sense. When you have the Spirit in you, you see the kingdom, almost like being able to see wind blowing from one end to another and understanding where it's going and what it's doing. It's a beautiful picture. So oftentimes we talk about gifts of the Spirit in churches that when I've seen this, and they often sound like this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, where it's like, here's all this amazing stuff that's happening. And it's like, I don't see it. I don't know where it is. Where is it? Maybe I just need to learn more or be more qualified to see it. But here's an interesting thing that I think Nicodemus missed, is that God is not primarily interested in the qualified. He's interested in the available. When you make yourself available with the Spirit in you, he will do amazing things. Jesus and his disciples were available. The people in the scriptures were available. Some of them put up a fight. Moses and Gideon, they put up a fight. Jonah put up a fight. But eventually they said, all right, God, I'm with you. Let's go. He's not primarily interested in the qualified, but the available. He can use qualified people, but only if they're available. And when you're available, he gives you everything you need to do the ministry. That's where the Spirit really starts to come. You know, Paul says this in the letter to the Romans. It's a beautiful understanding of the Spirit. He says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Again, that availability. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God is giving you leadership ability, then take responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Again, there's that kind of available or not. It's like, I could love others, but you know, when I get there, or if they show up to my house, it's like, no, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love others with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope and be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them and always be eager to practice hospitality. Look, God has given you all who have the Spirit gifts for his ministry, gifts to serve and do amazing things. Do not get caught up in thinking you need to just be more qualified. It's a good thing to learn the scriptures. I wish I had it all memorized, but I don't want you to think that's the point. The point is being available for God to do great things in you. If you are looking and wondering what my gift might be, what has God given me? There are people in our community with the gift of discernment to be able to discern what God is doing in your hearts and see it in you. Look around and ask around. That's the great part about having a community. And secondly, if you want a more kind of structured approach to that, our Valley Brook growth track, that's part of the steps we have. So we have this track for if you're looking to kind of step in further, to be a member here with us and a partner with us, one of the steps that we try to provide and help you guys is an assessment to look further for what is God doing in you already. I've actually had people go through this growth track, and during it, they say, I didn't even think I had any. And by the end of it, they're like, wow, like God's actually done a lot in my life already. I just didn't notice it. Sometimes that's one of the hard parts, is just not even seeing what God's already doing in your own heart. So I highly recommend, if you're curious, talk to someone. Sign up for the growth track if you're interested in partnering with us in the ministry, because we want to be available as God is asking us to be available. And lastly, I want you guys to just do not, this is a pitfall I find that people get in. Do not believe that you can only serve in an area where your specific gifting is the only one that's needed. So like teaching or leading, do not feel like, well, I don't have the gift of teaching or leading, so I can't go in a situation that may require that because that's not my gift. I've got other ones. Let me give you an example. For those of you who are serving in children's ministry or even serving like in schools as teachers, teaching is not the only gift you need to do that job well. I know that for a fact, right? There is a lot of other gifts that you need to be a good teacher, like patience is probably the biggest one, or hospitality, or many other gifts that you need. I thought that was me. I was like, am I breathing too hard into this microphone? Anyway. You need a lot of other gifts. And also know that when you're in those situations, you're not serving alone. That's the whole part of the body analogy that the disciples give us. You are never serving alone in the kingdom of God. And so if you do not have a particular gift, you might be serving with someone who does, and you're bringing in something that they need. Worship team, I'm going to ask if you guys come on up. This is a great time to come on up. Because when you're thinking about serving, and thinking about where your gifting may be, do not solely yourself out into other areas where you go, it has to be the only central gift. I didn't think I could public speak. I was a therapist before this. My thing was a one-on-one kind of counseling kind of talk. I did not think I could do this. But it helps, and I learn more about what God has given me. And as proof to this, just because I was on the teacher analogy a second ago, I bet my car that your favorite teachers in your life were not your favorite simply because of their teaching ability, but because of all the other gifts that they had, right? Don't come up to me and prove me wrong. I like my car. Look, God calls us to be partners in his ministry. If you can take something away from this, be available. If the Spirit is in you, if you've made that declaration and that decision to follow him and to choose Jesus as your king and to follow him in life and his mission, and you've accepted that Spirit, be available. Watch what he does in your heart and in your life. And if you're here and you have not made that decision, I want to offer you that decision. Because what we're doing is amazing. Because what God's doing is amazing. God gave this invitation when Jesus walked around from town to town and village to village. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom is near. Turn from what you're doing, the old heart that you had, choosing for yourself, and allow God to teach you. And be a part of the amazing restoration project that he has over the earth. Take that offensive stance and bring in the gifts and the Spirit and the fruit out to the whole world. Because then the whole world will come together into that new creation that we all so desperately desire. If you want that, all you have to do is ask. Pray to him and say, I'm ready. I want to follow you. I want you to be my Lord and my King. Take my old heart and give me yours." Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, your mission is beautiful. When we hear about your mission to save the earth and every single human heart in it, we can just feel and hear how much you love us. You are such a good and loving God to be faithful to us, to work with us in all of these situations, to heal our hearts, to care for our restoration and rescue rather than our destruction. You are far more faithful and loving and gentle and kind and self-controlled than any of us can be. But the fact that you give us this ability and this offer to partner with you, to be given your heart, it's just such an honor. Lord, we pray that everyone who is given such an invitation comes to you and accepts your offer to partner with them and then accepts your gifts gratefully and graciously. And we pray, Lord, and I ask for our whole church, for there are many who are using your gifts faithfully, and there are many who are still struggling to find them. Lord, we pray that you help us all to be available, to let the Spirit well up inside us, and for us to go out led by the Spirit as Jesus was, to bring that healing power and renewal to the whole world. We thank you, and we love you, and Lord, we pray that you do good work through us so that all the glory may go back to you. In your name we pray. Amen.